You are somebody, blue-collar workers of America. You who earn your bread by the sweat of your brow. You are the real lifeblood of this nation, any nation. You're responsible for the wheels of the world going around and moving forward. You set trends, dictate styles, elect presidents, state and city officials. And it's you, through your efforts, who make life easier, safer, more comfortable and convenient. You are somebody, all of you blue-collar workers of America, my truck drivers, taxi drivers, bus drivers, and chauffeurs, who make things easier by moving the world through your work. Think of the millions of people who depend on you for so many of the necessities of life. So often we take your services for granted. Blue-collar workers of America, you are somebody. My maintenance men and women, hospital attendants, domestic workers, laundry workers, waiters, waitresses, and my dishwashers. Your services make life so comfortable. Now consider our construction workers, the bricklayers, electricians, carpenters, plumbers, painters, and plasterers, to name just a few, who make things more convenient for us, building and beautifying the world in which we live. Sometimes even making dreams come true. And we can't praise the factory workers enough. Those tireless souls whose consistent 24-hour day efforts keep production up and money flowing. Oh, yes, you are somebody. We're going to take a little time now to thank the men and women who work for the city and who work for our protection. Our policemen, policewomen, and special guards, our firemen, our postal employees, both men and women. And don't think for one minute that I'm going to forget about our friends in the sanitation department, or the fellows in the waterworks, and especially our wonderful men in the sewers, and our garbage collectors. You know, we take you men for granted more than any of us. But can you picture what would happen in your city if we didn't have these workers? What a terrible thought. We are saying to you, blue-collar workers of America, oh, how we need you, yet how little we appreciate you. You are indeed somebody, and don't you ever forget it. And here's to the ones we've missed. We salute you, wherever you are, in whatever capacity you work to make life easier, safer, more comfortable and convenient for humanity. You are somebody, too. Remember, no job, no matter how small, is unimportant. So don't you look down on your work, and don't permit anyone else to do so. Stand up and be proud of what you do. For in work, there is dignity and honor and reward. Blue-collar workers of America, you are somebody. You are responsible for the wheels of the world going around and moving forward for people, I bet you. Being cool is a wonderful answer, a beautiful human answer to the hot way the world is in today, with overcrowded conditions and people hungry for the basic needs of life, crying out for personal expression, not being heard, leaving one in a state of confusion and frustration, hopelessness and even desperation. But what is your answer now about this? Are you going to cool it? Or are you going to explode? You know, it's left up to you. It's left up to you, the individual. What can you profit from the destructive spirit within you erupting, touching others with hate and violence? What can you profit? Certainly not constructive progress. You know, you must be cool and you must stay cool. Only in this way will you be able to fulfill your dreams about yourself and your particular place in this world. Well, there are understandable reasons why you are mistrustful and all heated up about the situation the world is in today. But being cool means using patience and understanding and positive action in solving the problems we know and we see, we feel, we live. Be cool and reap the benefits of this world. God's world, our world, your world. Touch your world with your own individual coolness and become a more wonderful you. Temper your coolness with common sense. Touch it with kindness. Let this be your touching word, always. Being careful is a sensible approach to problems during these troubled times. It's a necessary approach to real progress. You know, you put carefulness to work when you use your mind to think, to examine, to decide what's good for you. Don't rush into things just because someone else says you should. Be careful in all your affairs, whether it's affairs of the state, affairs of the heart, business affairs, personal affairs, family affairs, religious affairs, or the way you earn your bread. For there's always somebody trying to take you, exploit you, change you into something that you are not, leaving you fearful and empty, afraid to live, afraid to love, afraid to think, afraid to reach out and touch your real goals in life. You see, this is the real danger here, because you're permitting others to toy with your future and shape your destiny into something that you're not necessarily satisfied with when you permit others to make your decisions. You've got to be careful in this world, because you're dealing with human beings, and human beings are subject to mistakes. So take your time in your dealings. Look at things as they are. Determine how they will best work for you, then accept life as it is, with the changes you feel necessary to add for your own personal satisfaction. We're asking you here to be careful, but don't be so careful that you cut yourself off from the opportunities and the advantages and all the other benefits and beauty that's here for you to enjoy, to work with, to produce with. Remember, being careful goes hand in hand with progress. Keep this touching word in mind, always. Loneliness has its purpose in the scheme of things, as long as you refuse to let it strip you of your inner confidence and peace. It doesn't matter who you are, what you are, or the conditions surrounding you. At some point in your life, the effects of loneliness will set in on you if you let it. You know, loneliness is life's way of giving you the time to unfold and grow within yourself, conditioning your whole being to recognizing, accepting, and becoming involved with realities of life and how to solve the problems connected with these realities. First, to shockingly learn that you are all alone, unwanted, cut off, set apart from the things, people, and places you love, you enjoy, and that you need to make your life worth living. Unwanted because you are different. Your manner is different. Your dress is different. Cut off from the inspiration, motivation, and concern of others, that is an important step in your progress. Set apart from the beautiful things of this life, from the beauty of nature, the beauty of art, the beauty of education, the beauty of communicating ideas and sharing those ideas with other creative minds. And then the long, empty spells of loneliness away from home because of the devastation of war, of imprisonment, and even death. Not facing up to these realities of life will leave you steeped in bitterness and self-pity, and will strip you of your inner confidence and peace. At this point, you must refuse to accept this state of loneliness. Instead, begin to give of yourself, and give quickly. Get up, get out, and get involved with people, places, and things. This is the answer. Because the involvement will help you better understand the needs of others. In turn, ease your troubled mind. So start right now to dream again, hope again, build again, and live again. Let this spirit touch your life always, I bet you. You can know happiness if you're willing to pay the price with constant fight to preserve it. The fight means learning to have patience, being forgiving, being unselfish, and understanding the reason you should try to love your brother as yourself. The fight also means to continually tune out the negative attacks of other minds which are ever ready to invade your happiness. The negative attacks of fear, of hate, of anger, and unrest which we see and feel all around us. And it means to always be alert against the threats of those who are greedy and selfish and phony. This is why it's so necessary to understand yourself and make up your own mind in a positive manner, how you're going to cope with these ugly realities, and then go out and do something about them. All of this is left up to you. To be happy, you must think happiness and try to give happiness wherever you are, in your home, on your job, on the streets, even when you're letting your hair down. Because happiness is only a state of mind, but a joyful, rewarding state of mind. But remember, we must constantly fight to preserve it. Happiness brings good feeling, for it's a time when the spirit of fulfillment and contentment swells the heart with a sense of completeness and peace, I bet you. Above everything else, be kind. The after effects are something else. You know, it's good to feel good, and you will really feel good after an act of kindness. The kind touch of one's hand urging you to keep on pushing. The kind nod of approval which unspokenly says, yes, you can. And then the kind voice of inspiration advising, where there's a will, there's a way. Kindness is charity. Charity is love. And love is the greatest force on this earth. Because it gives all. The touch of kindness is so tender, so concerned, so contagious, that no human value can be placed on its after effects. And really, there's no need to. You know, kindness has such a refreshing promise that's so uplifting. But it's really a twofold promise. To get it, you must learn to give it unselfishly. Give more kindness, and you'll get more kindness. You will feel good. And it's so good to feel good in this world. Always remember the Queen's sayings. Be cool. Be careful. Refuse to be lonely. Fight for happiness. And above all, be kind. The after effects are something else. I bet you.